We're in Nesivos Shalom, we're back in Tefillah, we just finished the introduction, we're starting Ma'amar Rishon, the first Ma'amar, front page, Avodah Shebalev Zot Tefillah, Avodah Shebalev Zot Tefillah. Katav HaRambam, the Rambam says, Berosh Hilchot Tefillah, at the beginning of Hilchot Tefillah, Mitzvat Asei Litpalel Bechol Yom, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa, according to the Rambam, to daven every single day. As it says in the Pasuk, Va'avaratem et Hashem Elokechem, that you will serve Hashem, like we talked about last time, that when it says you will serve Hashem, you will serve God, you will serve with your heart, that generic term of Avodah is assumed to be Tefillah. Mipia Shmua Lamdu Sheb Avodah Zohi Tefillah, like we just said, that Mipia Shmua from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, passed down through our tradition, we know that Avodah is Tefillah. Mitzvah Zo Kachi. And the Rambam describes what this mitzvah of tefillah is. Shehei hadam mitpalel umitchanein bechol yom. That every single person should daven and should supplicate before HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day. Umagid shivcho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to say praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'achar kach shoel tzrachav, and then afterward ask for what we need. Shud tzarik lahem bevakasha v'tachanun, to ask what we need with a deep request and with supplication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines in if you haven't been following at the period. 7 lines in. Be'or dvarav. The meaning of the Rambam here is, Yesh lavin ki betorah kedosha yesh inyanei mitzvot ma'asiyot. There are active mitzvot that we do with our hands, that we actually do in this world. Like tzitzit, tefillin, right? Like when a man puts on tzitzit or a man puts on tefillin, when you light Shabbos candles, meaning there are active mitzvot that you're doing those mitzvot in the world. Where we do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will by doing that thing. He says there's a whole different type of thing, though. V'yesh inyanim hanikraim avodah. Then there's a whole separate category called avodah, service. What's avodah? Kidugmat avodata korbanot, like when we bring the korbanos themselves. V'tfilah sheyechet li'inyan avodah, and tfilah is connected to the category of avodah, of service. Ukolshon haRambam piberut haMitzvah, as the Rambam himself says when he describes the mitzvah, laavodat Hashem bechol yom b'tfilah, to serve, laavod, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day with tefillah. Ve'im b'mitzvot yesh hasovrim shemitzvot mitzvot eilu tzrichot kavana, and in mitzvot, even though there are those who assume that mitzvot don't require kavana, aval tefillah hi misug avodah shebalev, but tefillah is a whole different category. Tefillah is service of the heart. V'lefichach posek Rabbeinu, and that's why the Rambam says halachically, lemaisa, dechol tefillah she'eina bekavana ina tefillah. That any tefillah that doesn't have kavana, it's not a tefillah at all. If there's no kavana in the tefillah, it's not a tefillah. V'yipalil below kavana chozer v'yipalil. And the Rambam paskins that if you daven without kavana, you go back and you daven again. Ki ha'tfilah hi avodah shebalev, because tefillah is service of the heart. Uvelo kavana in zo avodah klal. It's beautiful what we're saying here. First of all, not all this is halacha lemaisa, meaning he's quoting and explaining the Rambam. Halacha lemaaseh, if we don't have kavana, we don't repeat Shmona Esrei. Most assume that it's a mitzvah derabanan from the Ramban. Nachman, he said not midoraita from the Rambam. But he's understanding the Rambam here. That the Rambam is bringing out, according to the Shittim, we obviously hold the Rambam in tremendous esteem. That the Rambam says that it's a mitzvah deoraisa. The Rambam says you have to daven every day. And he says that it's within the category of avodah shebalev. It's avodah. It's service. And since it's avodah, meaning you put on tzitzis, they're either on or they're off. You light Shabbos candles, either you lit before Shkia or you missed it. You could daven and miss tefillah. That's the depth of what he's saying here. You could daven. You could sit there and say all of the words, but not have been mispalel at all. And that's a very deep concept, what we talked about a little bit last time, meaning we can give lip service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and again, that's where the term comes from. Service only from the lips and not from the heart. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't need that. I don't need that. It's a waste of my time. I'm not here just to tell you what to do. You're not like a robot that's supposed to be saying a bunch of words. And for you, it's a waste of your time. I don't want you to sit around and just mumble a couple of things. You don't know what they mean. You don't care what you're doing. The idea here is that the heart and the soul of what tefillah is about is that tefillah is supposed to be an avodah. We're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if I miss that aspect of tefillah, says the Nesivos Shalom, understanding the Rambam. Again, we don't necessarily paskin like, but who we certainly follow. Even if we don't paskin like him, it's the Rambam. That the idea is we need to serve him. We need to connect to him. We need to be talking to him. That's the kavanah that we're talking about. Whether it's I think he's going to get into it. I have vague recollections of learning this piece before. In terms of how much kavanah is required. But whether it's simply a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, and I realize that I'm in the room with him, that I'm standing here, and I take 3 steps back, and I take 3 steps forward, and I'm standing here talking to him. Whether it's a deeper requirement to also understand the meaning of the words themselves and to actually be meaningfully speaking to him. That's tefillah. That's the baseline of tefillah. And the Nesivos Shalom here says very starkly, if you don't have kavanah in the tefillah, it's not a tefillah. You said words, you get a checkbox next to shachris, but you weren't mispalel. You didn't daven. You didn't connect with the Borei Olam, which is what tefillah is meant to be about. Ayla. Good. So that's the question I assume is coming. Good. Meaning the answer is yes, absolutely you should. Meaning you're all, for not all of you, I don't know where all of you are coming from, but from my understanding of Shana Aleph, many of you, and honestly many people, whatever stage of life they're at, are at the beginning of your journey. At the beginning of your journey, there is simply getting into the mode of davening. And that takes an effort in and of itself. And you're saying, meaning there's a level of kavanah there. What's the kavanah? I know I'm supposed to talk to you. I don't know what it means yet. I don't know how to get into it yet. But I'm at least going to start talking to you. That's amazing. The what you want to be careful of, and this I think is what happened. I'm sorry I keep doing this. 1 second, Ivy. Oh. Can you guys all scoot back a little bit? So she's going to get this. Okay, thank you. I have a little bit of a bigger box. So the idea there is that you know that you should absolutely do. The thing you want to be concerned about, the thing you want to be careful of is, don't let that be the bar. Don't stop there. Don't say, okay, I've got chakras down, let's move on to mincha, and then mariv, and then I've got it down to exactly the number of minutes and seconds that I need. Like, it's not a calculation. Meaning you say, okay, this is aleph. Aleph is just do it. Just say it. Just start getting into it. But keep in mind that that's just the knisah. You're just starting to get into it a little bit. Most people, that's where they say their whole lives. You know? It's the daily ritual of 3 times mumbling. Don't let that happen. Because once you've gotten past the initial, well, I'm doing this because I don't know how else to do it, I'm getting into it, but now you know how to do it, and you are doing it, and you keep doing it the same way. There's an expectation now, okay, let's bump it up a notch. Let's move things along. If things stay where they are, the relationship is stale and there's no content there.
So what is real?
So I think he's going to get into that next. Let's see what he says. If not, then we'll swing back to it. Okay, let's take a look. Uvedat HaRambam, second paragraph. In the opinion of the Rambam, Shim lo kiven libo yachzor v'yitpalel, that if you don't have kavana, you have to go back and say Shmon Esri again. Because you took 3 steps back, you took 3 steps forward, but you didn't talk to Hashem. And that's tefillah. You didn't do the mitzvah of v'avadatem. You didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You didn't do the mitzvah of bechlal, according to the Rambam. You have to go and daven again. Hinei mistimat l'shono mashmas is a din b'chol ha'tefillah. And by the end of his wording, it seems like that is a halacha in all of tefillah. The kavana ma'akevet, that kavana is required for a tefillah. V'kasheh, v'perek yud tefillah katav v'zeh l'shono. And this is difficult to understand it this way, because he says later on in Hilchos Tefillah, fourth line in the second paragraph, Misha mitpalel velo kivein libo yachzor vitpalel bekavana, that one who davens doesn't have kavana should go back and daven again with kavana. Dim kivein et libo bebracha rishonah, if it has kavana in the first bracha of Shmona Esrei, the first of the 18 of 19 brachot, if he has kavana in the first bracha, shuvein otzarich, then you have to go back and daven again. We have a problem here that we have 2 different halachas in the Rambam that seem to be going against each other. One halacha in the Rambam says, if you don't have kavana, you got to go back, daven again. The other one says, if you have kavana in the first bracha, you should have had kavana in the whole thing, but if you have kavana in the first bracha, you're fine. So I don't understand, Rambam, which is it? Do I have to have kavana for all of davening, or do I have to have kavana just for the first bracha? How do we understand that?
First bracha of what?
Shmon Esrei. Again, it's a machloket within the Rambam himself. In the one he says, if you don't have kavana in Shmona Esrei, you go back. Seems to be the whole thing. In the other halacha, a few prakim later, he says, if you don't have kavana in the first bracha, then you go back, but the rest of it's fine.
Yeah, but why is he only talking about Shmona Esrei? What about,
Because the main issue of tefillah is Shmona Esrei. The two main aspects of tefillah are Kriyat Shema, which is not actually tefillah, it's a halacha, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa from the Torah to say Shema every day, which men are obligated in, women are not obligated in, but can certainly opt into. And the second key element of tefillah is Shemona Esrei. Everything else we can get into in Hilchos Tefillah, in Mishnah Berurah and Shulchan Aruch. But in terms of the mitzvah of tefillah itself, in its core, that's Shemona Esrei.
So you could really just not have
No, so he says, his wording was, you have to have kavana for the whole Shemona Esrei, but if you only had kavana for the first bracha, then you don't have to go back.
No, I'm saying for the rest of davening, like if I only have kavana for Shemona Esrei and not for the rest of davening.
You are still yotze. Again, I don't know why you would have that be the goal, but you're still yotze. And again, the Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah talk about that you need to have kavana on those aspects of tefillah. But all of those aspects of tefillah, according to the Rambam, are on a different level than Shemona Esrei. But the Shulchan Aruch himself, in the very opening, not the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, in Siman Aleph of the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, explaining, I think, the Shulchan Aruch. We're doing this like tomorrow and leave. I haven't looked at it yet this year. I think he's, I don't remember if he's explaining the Shulchan Aruch. I think he is, but he certainly says it more explicitly in the Mishnah Berurah. He says, better to say less with more kavana than to fly through. Meaning, let's say you show up, a few minutes late to davening, and you have a choice. In theory, again, I'm not saying you do this practically, and you have to understand the nuances of the halacha, but it talks about the concept of what happens if you have time to do one of two things. You can run through Pesukei Dezimra, or you can say less of Pesukei Dezimra, but you can say it the kavana. It seems to be, and one has to check the halacha lamaisa, it seems to be the preference is to say less with kavana for Pesukei Dezimra. It's by all tefillah. But in terms of getting to the core of tefillah itself, that's Shemona Esrei. That's Shemona Esrei. The real answer is, Gilana, show up on time. Okay? But if lo aleinu, you show up late, so then I believe that's what you do. So we have this problem again, just to restate from the Rambam. One Rambam says, if you don't have kavana in Shemona Esrei, go back and repeat the whole thing. The other one says, if you don't have kavana Shemona Esrei, but you had kavana in the first bracha, that's good enough, just keep going. So which is it, the whole Shemona Esrei or the first bracha? So the Nesivos Shalom here says, V'yafe be'erzo tagrach ha-levi, this is a very famous idea of the grach ha-levi b'sifro, she'ish bet inyanei kavana b'tefillah. There's two levels of kavana in tefillah. There's two different types of kavana when it comes to tefillah. Aleph, kavanat perush hamilot shemotzi mipiv b'tefillah, meaning understanding the words that are actually coming out of my mouth when I daven, that I say those words and I understand the meaning of the words that I'm saying, that's a higher level of kavana, where I understand every single word. Bet, shi'chavenet libo shomeid nochach p'nei Hashem. A lower, more generic level of kavana, not that it's not a good level of kavana, but a more generic level of kavana, is that I simply understand in my heart and I'm recognizing and I'm focused on the fact that I'm standing before God. I may not understand what I'm saying, but I am very cognizant of the fact that I'm standing before God while I'm davening. V'al kavana zo katav Rabbeinu b'perek dala de tfila, shim enu mechaven libo b'chol ha-tfila, ein zo tfila, kumo shekatav sham, umayi ha-kavana shifnet libo mikol ha-machashavot v'yirei atzmo ki'ilu omeid neged ha-shechina. So he says here, that's how we can understand it. Meaning, if a person davens all of Shemona Esrei, and they didn't even have the lower level of kavana, that they're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then, says the Rambam, it's not a tfila b'chlal, I don't care how many brachas in you are, you go back. You have to daven again. Again, this is not halacha lamaisa, but we're understanding the essence of tefillah from this. That if you didn't even recognize, you took three steps back, and you took three steps forward at mincha time into the dining room because you smelled the food, and you're thinking about what you're going to have for dinner, and it's probably going to be chicken again. Maybe they'll make it differently. Probably not. Maybe I'll go to my room. What can I warm up? Is there 1,000 meter rules still? Can I go to like the bagel place? Maybe I can go to the supermarket. And then you take three steps back, and your Shemona Esrei is over, done, go back. And by the way, I know that was based on a true story, right? Meaning like when that happens, meaning you never, from the beginning of Shemona Esrei to the end of Shemona Esrei, there was never a cognizance that you were even before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. According to the Rambam, if you don't even have that baseline understanding of what you're doing, that's not a tefillah bichlal. It's not a tefillah at all. And again, we gave an example like this last time, but when we're talking about talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we bring it down into practical relationships, again, imagine, and I gave this example last time, imagine that I came home after a night's sleep or exhausted, and my wife comes over to me and she says, I really got to talk to you. I'm like, 100%. Sure, yeah. You just tell me what's going on. And I'm just totally somewhere else. Thinking about sleep. Sleep would be great. Kind of want to hit the pillow. Think she's saying something important. Anyway, how late is it now? If that's all that's going through my head and I'm not there, at a certain point, she will pick up on the fact, probably pretty early on, that I am not even cognizant of what's going on. That's not a relationship. That's not respect. That's not connectivity. And if your husband, b'shato b'slachat, if you're, not on the what he does, but that he's there, b'shato b'slachat, if he does that, you better call him out on it. You better call him out on it. Because when you talk, it's important. And when you have something to share, it's important. And he shouldn't be spacing out. You call him out. Because that's not what the relationship is meant to be. When we talk to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, imagine that's what we're doing. That example that I gave where your head is in the dining hall. You're stepping three steps forward to talk to the King of all kings, to talk to the Creator of the world, talk to the Master of the universe. You're talking to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And if it's so meaningless to us that we're able to space out on the dining hall, space out on the WhatsApp that the guy sent 5 minutes before davening, which I probably shouldn't have checked in the first place, nor should I be speaking to him in the first place. Right? Thinking about the last thing that, you know, the last conversation that I had in the hallway. Whatever it is. When I space out and go to that place, I'm not engaged in relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And so explains the Grach in terms of the Rambam. The Rambam says it's not a tefillah because you haven't done what tefillah sets out to do. You said words, but you didn't relate. You didn't connect. You didn't talk. You said words at God. You didn't talk with God. And he's not interested in lip service. It's a real internal avoda. It's avodah shebalev. It's a real reflection. It's a real internalization that we need to do. There's so many halachot that go into tefillah. Right? Gilana asked, like, what about Pesukim Zimran and the halachot there? And somebody asked, we did Q&A the other day, what happens if you're in this part of davening and there's Kedusha? This part of davening, there's Baruch Hu. This part of davening, these are all amazing and detailed and nuanced halachic questions that we need to know that takes up a huge chunk of the first chelik of Mishnah Berurah and the second chelik of Mishnah Berurah. There's a lot of nuances of the halachos of tefillah. Well, we're so busy either squeezing in a tefillah or learning Hilchos tefillah, we have to remember to daven. We have to remember to daven. So work on talking to him, connecting to him. Baseline, says the Rambam, to recognize with humility and with reverence and with awe that I'm standing before him. To recognize that part of the idea of taking those three steps back and three steps forward is that I'm taking three steps back and I'm walking into basically a yichud room of the Kaddish Baruch Hu, that we're here alone. Halakha lemaisa, you can't walk. You're not allowed to walk within dalet amos, within four amos of somebody when they're in Shmona Esrei. Four amos is like 6 feet or so, I think. Right around 6 feet. Why can't you walk into 6 feet of somebody who's davening Shmona Esrei? Because you're walking in the middle of their conversation. What chutzpah? That's why you're not allowed to. Because that person is talking to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. They're talking to God, and you're going to walk in between the two of them? There's a recognition halachically that the two people are standing together and connecting and talking, and that creates a deep connection. But that's what we're trying to do. And that baseline understanding, that baseline connectivity, that baseline kavana, and avoda shebalev, that's required from beginning to end, says the Rambam. That's required from beginning to end. Four lines from the bottom. Did I freak you all out because I said we were recording? There's like no hands today. Everybody okay? You guys sick? I was recording. I told you, I record. gotta throw in first, just to make sure everybody knows. Okay, I guess I asked for it. You guys are very, very quiet today. You guys are very, very quiet today. Yeah, there we go. Yes, again, these are all nuances of halachot, 100%. There's a minimum, and then there's what's appropriate, and then there's what's usher. Meaning there are varying levels of what you should wear during tefillah. Meaning during tefillah, you should really be dressed properly, like you're about to approach a Kaddish Baruch Hu. You know, the dress code of tiferet counts. For sure. The dress code at Levat Torah for guys counts. They don't always follow it, in which case they have a problem, but the dress code is correct. You know, like that's the idea. So there is what's appropriate. There is minimum that it still counts, and then there is, I mean, we'd have to work hard to do it. It'd be weird if anybody were done in such a way, but then there's like, you won't even be yotze because it's inappropriate. But that's you really gotta cross a line in order to do that. Most of the time, it's really the border of, is it inappropriate but still fine, or is it the appropriate dress? Correct. Yes, you should be dressed appropriately. Appropriately, yes. No. Again, we're explaining the Rambam. According to the poskim, no, you have to daven. You mean women have to daven twice a day, men have to daven three times a day, you daven. You do the best you can, but one needs to recognize, meaning we take the Rambam very seriously, that's the idea. Meaning he's harping on the Rambam to bring out the fact that even if technically, halakhically, you were you, say even technically you don't follow the Rambam in this aspect, what's the goal? How does the Rambam pasken? And what does that teach about tefillah? Keep davening. Okay? You call your name and that's it? You're out? It's over? Okay. Hakavana zot, four lines from the bottom. Hakavana zot, he may etzem hatfila. This kavana of recognizing that I'm standing before God, that's the essence of tefillah. And if I don't focus on the fact that I'm standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ein zo tefila klal, according to the Rambam, this isn't a tefila at all. Aval inyan hakavana bepirush hamilot himidin bracha. Shamru chazal hamitpalel tzarik shigaven et libo b'chol ha-brachot. But in terms of understanding what the words that you're saying, that's a din in the brachos. That Chazal say that one who davens has to understand the words that they're saying. Amit pel tzarik shechaven et libo b'chol ha-brachot. That a person who's saying a bracha has to focus their heart on the bracha. Top of the next column. V'im eino yichol lechaven b'chulan, yichaven et libo b'achat mehen. And in that case, if you don't have the kavan, if you can't understand, or if you don't have the focus to understand the words of all of the brachot, at least do one. And that's the first one. And yes, there is... Even though if you don't have kavana, you don't go back, there is a halachic preference to, at the very least, understand the words of the first bracha of Shmona Esrei. Halacha l'maisa, it is a preference. Just we don't paskin fully like the Rambam. If you don't have kavana, you don't go back. But I've been to many shuls where a person's gotten up to be the chazan, and when he starts Chazara Sashatz, when he starts the repetition of Shmona Esrei, he'll say the first bracha much more slowly to make sure that he fulfills this halacha. And that he has kavana in the meaning of the words of the first bracha. The following brachot, he still tries to have kavana, but he moves a little bit faster because he's doing chazaras hashatz. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. We even see people dafka do this publicly. That there's an understanding that you need to try to not just understand your standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the first bracha, but to really focus on the words at least of the first bracha, if not all of the brachot. If not all of the brachot. The goal ultimately is, of course, all of the brachot. One second. As he says here, this comes back to your point, Naomi, which is, he says here, the Tehoshim in parentheses, even though, in terms of halacha lemaisa, the achronim argue about whether or not we actually follow this, these words are important in understanding what tefillah is. And that's why we're focusing on it. This is not a sefer of halacha, this is a sefer of avodah. Gilana. Sorry, I'm sorry, we'll come back to you. Yeah, Gilana.
Is it better to like master one tefillah? So get your shachris really, really good.
One, what meaning as opposed to mincha?
As opposed to saying shachris mincha marv with like, okay.
Somebody asked this, I don't remember if it was in this class or some other class. I don't really understand the question. Meaning, let's say right now your shachris, mincha, and marv are all unimpressive. You want to work on one. Why, because you're working on your chakras, do you have to drop mincha in order to work on your chakras?
No, I'm saying, like, for me, and I don't say mincha and marv.
Okay.
So, is it better for me to, it's like a lot to do all of them. So is it better to have a really, really good chakras, or an okay for both?
I don't know what the halacha lemaisa there would be. I'm not sure. Okay. Next paragraph. Four lines in, second column. Vinip, yes, Rina.
In reference to the Mm-hmm. And like the goal was to finish it, but I didn't understand anything.
Okay, so first of all, it's two separate things. Meaning, Tehillim is not Shmoneh Esrei. And there is a definitive value for Chumash in particular and all of Tanakh just in saying the words, even if you don't understand them. It's a separate issue of the fact that even just if you read the words of the Chumash and understand them, there's a value in that, because it's not tefillah, it's connecting to Torah. It's a different thing. And in terms of saying Tehillim, there's a value and there's a power just to be saying the words of David HaMelech generations later. So it's a different thing, 100%. Meaning, now, if you understand that, is that even better? For sure. But there is legitimate intrinsic value even in just saying the words. I'll tell you, it's interesting. My Rebbe once posed as a question in a conversation. He wasn't, like, saying this definitively, but he posed it as a question. You know, he said, it's so interesting. You know, in our generation, women have all these classes, and they're all learning Tehillim. Every seminary, every place, so everybody's got a Tehillim class. And to understand the inner workings of the understanding Tehillim, and it's so beautiful that now, you know, all these women understand Tehillim. Understand Tehillim, right? He said, but a few generations ago, none of them understood Tehillim, but they were all saying it, and they were all crying. Which one do you think is better? He left it as an open question. But his point was, you know, we have to remember the balance also. Meaning, we live in a generation where we start to get intellectually into these things in a way that distances it from the heart. And we want to make sure not to distance it from the heart. So, of course, you want to understand what it's saying. But the idea is that, meaning, when you're saying Tehillim, you're just saying those words, you're crying those words of David HaMelech they said generations ago. Yes, you want to make sure you understand them. But if you don't, there's a definitive and legitimate value even in just saying those words. And to connect to David HaMelech and to the words he said to come out of our mouths is tremendous. In and of itself. It's a different inyan than tefillah per se. Even though there's an aspect of tefillah in there, it's about connecting to Tehillim, which is part of Tanakh, and specifically Tehillim, in terms of the koach of what Tehillim has to offer, which is a totally different category. Okay. Second paragraph, we'll end in. Vihine. Bedivrei HaRambam anu ro'im kama inyanim b'mehut ha-tefillah. Within the words of the Rambam, we see many things in terms of the essence of tefillah. Mitpalel u'mitchanein b'chol yom lifanav yitbarach. He says to daven and to supplicate before HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day. Magid shivcho, to say his praises. V'sho'el atzrachav shudzorech lem v'vakashav v'tachanunim. And to ask for what we need with request and with supplication. V'yesh la'avim, we need to understand. Why are all of these things included in the service of the heart? Why are all of these aspects included in tefillah? Supplicating before him, saying his praises, asking for our needs. Well, why are there so many different parts here? Umahi chashivut havoda shu shoel tzracha b'vakasha v'tachanunim. And what kind of avoda is it to ask for stuff? Anybody ever think about that? We get the Shmoneh Esrei, it's like, I mean, you think about it, the build-up, right? You go there, and you say Birchos HaShachar, and you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for waking up and getting out of bed and walking and being able to move and all of these things, and then we go and we say La'olam and realize how small we are, but that we're great because we're the Jews and we're singing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's praises, and then obviously all of us are saying Korbanot, and we say Korbanot to imagine we're in the Beis HaMikdash and bringing the Korbanot to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we get to Pesukei Zimra. We get to Pesukei Zimra and we start to sing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and join the entire universe in singing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we move past that into Birchos Kriyat Shema, where now as we look in the words, what we're doing is we're joining with the angels themselves and we're joining the Malach and singing his praises, and then we surpass the malachim, we surpass the angels. That's how fast some people's chakras is. Then we pass the angels, and we take three steps back, and there's Lord, and we get to, and now we've arrived. It's just me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm like, hold on one second. I take out my phone. I open up a little notepad in my phone. So these are the six things I need today. I'd really like an A on this test. Not feeling great. It would be nice if I had a little more parnasa, and be great if dinner was tasty. Things based back to food. Always end on food. Dinner's tasty. Thanks God. Peace out. See you tomorrow. Like, isn't that weird? It's weird, no? Ever think about that? That we work, that's what tefillah is. The physical things, that's Pesukei Dezimra. We move on and again, we're joining in the song of praise of the entire world of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We join the Malachim and then we surpass them, what, to ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu for stuff? We have to answer that question. We'll see what he says. If he doesn't come back around to it, we'll come. We for certain will come back around to it. What's going on there? It's very, very, it's a very, very strange thing. Was there a hand? I thought it was not a hand. Or not. So what does it mean to ask for things? Why is that an avoda shebalev? Haloman de ki'ivle, ki'iva mevakshe mi sheyesh biyado sheyasir vedo hake'ev. I think that might have been his whole answer. We'll see. One second. Let's keep going. Vani Rebbe Zeh, Bitor Yisod Klali B'Inana Tefillah. We see from this is a foundation of Tefillah itself. Let's say, I'm going to translate what he said, and then we'll expand upon it if he doesn't. He says, Umahi Chashivuta Avoda, Shushuel Tzracha B'Vakasha V'Tachanunim. And what's the significance of Avoda that we're asking for things? He says, Halo Mande Ki'ivle. Meaning when a person has a difficulty with something, so you go to somebody who can help you to deal with it. If I don't feel well, I go to the doctor. Like, there's no chiddush in the doctor. I'm not close with my doctor. We don't hang out. We don't have deep DMCs. Do we even use that phrase anymore? Yes? Okay, that was a deep yes. Okay. We have significant, you know, I don't see DMCs with my doctor when I go for a checkup. Right? I'm in and out. Like, I don't have anything to do with this guy. So what does it mean that I'm going when I mean, if I need something, if I'm not feeling well, I ask for the doctor. If I need something to eat, I go and I ask from the grocery store. But like, I go to the place that can answer and give me what I need. So what's the chiddush there? He says, Vanir Ebaze, Bitor Yisod Klali B'inyana Tfila. We see from this a foundational principle in Tfila. Dnei Katav Marana Saba Gadosh Mislanim. The Slonim Rebbe says, Shekol Inyanei Avodat Hashem, that the whole concept of Avodat Hashem is, V'chol Mitzvot Atliot Balev, and all of the mitzvot that are dependent upon our heart and our emotions and our feelings, Nichlalim B'inyanei Tfila, they're all included within the concept of Tfila. V'chazal Amru, and Chazal say in the Medrash, Ra'a Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom, Moshe Rabbeinu saw Shebit HaMikdash Atid Licharev, that he saw that the Beit HaMikdash would be destroyed, it says in the Medrash Tanchuma. Amad v'hitkin liYisrael sheyu mitpalalim gimel pa'im b'chol yom. So he said that Klal Yisrael would have to daven three times every day. The Medrash links it back all the way to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's interesting. But he links it all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Mikol zeh, yesh lilmod goldel ma'alat ha'tfilah. We have to understand from this the greatness of tfilah. Shirak inyan ha'tfilah omed liYisrael acharei chorban Beit HaMikdash. When the Beit HaMikdash is gone, the central place of our Avodat Hashem, the central place where we gather to serve the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the house, the Shalom Bayis, where we connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's gone, what do we have in its place? That's Tefillah. Tefillah is what we have in its place. V'abi'or bazem, what this means is, ki ikar inyan tefillah, hu advekut b'Hashem b'darga ila'it. The essence of Tefillah is, and we've been hinting to this and talking around this the entire time, is the essence of Tefillah is dvekut. Dvekus is clinging to God. That's what tefillah is meant to be. V'lachin matzinu b'kitvei ha'arizal. That's what we find in the writings of the Arizal, one of the greatest Kabbalists ever lived. Shal yidei ha'kavanot ha'kedoshot b'tefillah, gorim yichud v'zivug elyon kutshabrichu shchinte. That if we have the proper kavanas in tefillah, we mamish unify the upper and lower realms through our tefillah. There's a dvekus, there's a connectivity that's established when we daven properly. Because based on what we do down here, that organizes and brings about what happens up above, and it brings the two together. And if my tefillah down here brings a dvekus, brings a clinging, means a union between myself, between a Jew and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then up on the higher realms, in the upper realms, beyond this world, it's bringing unity and oneness. It's bringing about a reality of unity and oneness. And this is the concept of tefillah, meaning that it's avodah shebalev. That when a Jew pours out their heart like water, then they cling to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ukimo mi sheyeshlo ohev ne'eman, like somebody who you love, who you trust in, who you're connected to. Shelefanav shofech et libo, who you pour your heart out to. And through that you connect to that person. That's the level of tefillah. That even asking it's just asking for things. We cling to Hashem. And we feel a love for Him. It's very deep what he's saying here. In terms of that question that we asked, what does it mean that we just go and we ask things for our Kadosh Baruch Hu? Yes, when you ask the way that I just asked, that's totally missing the point. It's not looking at a list and asking for a laundry list of things. Oh, I want this, and I want this, and I want this. God's not interested. I mean, He's also interested. He cares that you want those things. And yes, He can give them to you. But when we talk about bakasha in tefillah, the depth of what it means that we ask for things, that Shmona Esrei is simply asking for things. It's not simple at all. It's that moment when you desperately need something in life. And we've all had those moments where you desperately need something. I desperately need for this difficulty that I'm going through to be over. I desperately need for bidud to end. I desperately need for this train wreck of a relationship to finally end and to move on with my life because it's hurting me on an emotional level. I desperately need parnasa because I can't feed my family. Whatever the case is, when you really need something, that's not asking for something. Your whole being is on the line. And if you've ever shared that with somebody, and the only person who you really share that with is someone who you're close to, when you get to that moment where you simply can't take it anymore, and you just need to put it out there, you don't go to some random person who happens to be in your capsule. It's not somebody who somebody just paired you with. You turn around and you find that person who you know deeply, who you know deeply understands you, who you know will understand what you're saying, who you know will care about what you're saying, who you know will want to help you and be there for you. And you don't just ask. You cry. You cry. Lo aleinu, if you're ever in a situation where you're worried about your parnasa, and so many people were there last year, just a few months ago, people who were never there before. So many people. Last year, when we were told that, we got told basically point blank in June, you know, you're good till the end of your contract, but there may not be Shana Aleph next year. Fun fact, I only teach Shana Aleph and Shana Bet, which is the same problem. I never had kavana in Barech Aleinu like I had before. Barech Aleinu Hashanokinu et Hashana Hazot. And I'm giving that example because it's personal, but it's Kilu Baruch Hashem Shana Aleph happened. Like I wasn't sitting on the streets, Baruch Hashem. Meaning, like, you know, but I mean, meaning Shana Aleph happened. But like, but in those moments where you know, and you guys are, you know, you guys are in the seminary. You know, like, it depends on who you were talking to, but you know, who runs the staff meetings? You can imagine who runs the staff meetings at Tiferet. Generally speaking, Rabbi Rosner. Rabbi Rosner isn't like a mushy kind of guy. He just says it point blank. He was like, just letting you know, like, we don't know if there's going to be a Shalom next year. We don't know. We'll let you know when we know. That's what I got. It's very scary for me too. It's like, you don't sound scared, I'm freaking out. That's what we were all feeling, you know. It's a very, very scary. And to come and, instead of just saying, Baruch Aleinu, Hashem, okay, Hashem, Zona, Lekash, Baruch Hu, thank you, please, for the panasa, please make sure that I panasa coming, continuing, and the paychecks is coming up. And I was like, please make sure I get the shkolin coming into the bank. Because if not, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's a different bakasha. It's a totally, totally different bakasha. And in that moment, I wouldn't have shared that had there been a Shana Aleph in the country with Shana Aleph. But I would share that with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I would talk about that with my wife. If there's a time where, again, I haven't been in Bidud personally, Baruch Hashem, B'liyan Har, I've not been in Bidud yet. Right? But if you get to that point where you're in Bidud, where you just can't anymore, you just need to get outside, you just need that contact. If you've been able to FaceTime or Zoom, or if you were in a room when you came to Eretz Yisrael for Shana Aleph and you were in Bidud with a good friend, and you just, it wasn't the constant complaining around the table 24/7. I'm talking about where you hit your breaking point. Who you choose to talk to in that moment is very significant, and the very act of talking to that person, and this is the key, the very act of talking to that person, that's an act of connectivity. for other reasons that are none of your business. I've had moments during this whole 8-month period. I mean, everybody in the earth, I'd like to think everybody in the earth has, unless they're like not normal or totally disconnected from their emotional world, right? Where you've had a breaking point. I've had that breaking point. I'm not going to sit here and break down into tears in front of this room. We don't have that relationship. Please don't take it personally, right? That's not the relationship that we have. But I certainly, at certain points over the last 8 months, have broken down into tears. To Shoshana, for sure. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah. Yeah. Those are people I can trust and I can ask, who I know can get me through it and can even end it. That's who I'm going to talk to. That's what he's saying here. When you get to the end, when you get to Shemoneh Esrei, you take 3 steps back, 3 steps forward, and you stand by the HaKadosh Baruch Hu and there's nobody else there. You can ask for anything. Think of the brachos. Think of the brachos for a second in a whole new way. Think of how in the past, if you even understood that you were davening, or you davened at all, maybe you didn't daven at all. Again, there's no judgment here, but imagine you were davening if you weren't. Atachonein la'adam da'at u'melamed l'enosh bina. You're like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give me an A on the test. Shtuyot! Every morning, there's no test anymore. There's no test in this place. In a lot of different ways. There's no test in this place that we talked about last Thursday on the Musar Shmuz. Right? There's no test in this place. You can coast this year if you want. Don't coast in Tefillah either. You know what a great way to make sure you're not coasting in Shana Aleph? Atach lo'ein l'adam da'at. Dig deep. You give us wisdom. I'm going to spend all day going to class today, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to understand you. I want to understand your Torah. And feel a little bit. Open up your heart a little bit. And say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, let me understand. These days where I'm not sleeping, when I say Atach lo'ein l'adam da'at, say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though I'm so exhausted, I don't want to just read the daf. I don't just want to say the words of the daf. I want to understand this daf, because I'm not going to see it probably for another 7.5 years. And that's a lot of time. Atach lo'ein, let me understand this daf. And I daven, in all honesty, I daven for you all. I daven for the guys, I daven for you. I say HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are a bunch of stupid, punky Shana Aleph boys. Y'all got earth every second. They're going to waste their time. Please, give them I know they have no das yet, and maybe they'll have an inkling of das by the end of Shana Aleph. Let them understand the Gemara a little bit. Let them connect to Gemara a little bit. Let the girls connect to Tzfil a little bit when we're talking about it. Let them connect to Chumash and Seder Vav. I try. That's an avoda to think past oneself that I'm working on. Try to think a little bit deeper, a little bit broader. That's just the first bracha. Those are real tfilos. That's not give me an A. That's not make sure that I don't mess up a question. That's a real connective tfila. That's revealing yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to the one who can answer, the one who cares and can answer and can do anything. Hashiveinu avinu l'Torah techa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't feel connected to tfila. I don't feel connected to Torah. Hashiveinu, bring me back. Let me feel connected. Don't come and talk to me after class. To finish class, go into Avin Marv and ask God. He's the only one who can help you. Don't stick around and talk to me. Talk to him. You can also talk to me. I'll tell you to talk to him. Slach lanu. Every single person in this room, and I know this because your questions reveal the fact that you know even less halacha than I do, and I know how much halacha I don't know, so I know how much you don't know. We're all doing averas. Intentionally or unintentionally, we're all doing averas. We sin against the King of all kings. We sin against the Master of the universe. We sin against the person who gives us life every second. Please, please, please forgive me. I wish no more. I want to know more. I'm going to do better. Please forgive me. For real. Not because I don't want Gehenna. Not because I want to bother with Yom Kippur. For real. Re'ei ve'onyenu. Anybody who is not saying Re'ei ve'onyenu with Kavana right now, there's something wrong with you. No offense. There's something wrong with you. Re'ei ve'onyenu. See our pain, see our affliction, and save us from it. Insert the exact same thing here. The whole world is afflicted right now. Daven for that. Derivarivenu, and the fights between us. I'm sure that all of your apartments have no shalom bias issues. I'm sure everybody gets along in your apartment, said no one ever in Shana Aleph. Derivarivenu, and help us with our arguments, with our roommates, with our friends, with our parents, with our siblings. Rifa'enu. You know what the new kavana that I took on in Rifa'enu? I add in, and I say the special tefillah that you can add in and daven for specific people, and then I add in that everybody with corona should also have a refuah. But I actually started focusing on the words. B'toch she'ar chleisho. It struck me a couple of months ago. I'm trying. I'm not succeeding. I'm trying. To really focus in on B'toch she'ar chole Yisrael. It dawned on me. I wonder if people have stopped davening for people who are sick without corona. Remember when cancer was a thing and we cared? Meaning, like, remember when, like, that was the thing that we were davening about? When somebody had the flu, or somebody had cancer, or somebody was even stuck, had a broken, whatever it is, lo aleinu. And so I took upon myself to try, when I say, b'toch she'arach le'Yisrael, that it's have kavana for all those people that we've stopped davening for because we're all focused on corona. Barich aleinu, for parnasa, for our families, for ourselves, for our kids. And on and on and on. Yeshua, Yerushalayim, Tzaddikim, connectivity, Shema Koleinu, Ritzei. This is not a laundry list. This is revealing who you are. What you really want in each one of those brachot. That's who you really are. Show me what you desire most, and that will tell me who you are. Reflect on that for a second. Show me what you desire most in this world. It will tell me who you are. You're turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in every category of life, you're not saying the words. If for you all it is, and I'm not saying this is anybody in this room, and again, it's not relevant even now. All it is an A on a test. All it is to make an extra, X number of dollars so I can get this cool new thing that I saw an ad for. If that's who you are, so then that's who you are, and chaval, and that needs work. That needs self-work. But if you dig deep, all of us, every single person in this room, you want more than that. I know you all want more than that. It's a recognition that that's what you're supposed to actually be doing in Shmona Esrei every day, three times a day. Twice a day for you. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That's what we're supposed to be tapping into. I'm standing in front of God and I'm asking the King of all kings, the Master of the universe, who can do anything for what I deeply want from the bottom of my heart. For myself, for the world, for his glory in this world. For myself psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, physically, parnasa, every level. That's the deepest thing there is. It's the most revealing thing there is. It's the most vulnerable thing there is. I don't have these and I need them, and I please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need. I'm a beggar standing before you. There's nothing more embarrassing than that. But that's fine, because I'm not embarrassed in front of you, because we're together, and I trust you. I know you care about me, and all you want to do is help me. I have nothing to be embarrassed about in front of you. But I can tell you what I really need, what I really want. For me, and if I'm thinking here, for the world, and for other people, and for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what I want for you. I want to understand Torah for you. I want Parnasa to get stuck up for you. But I need you to help me to do that for you. Where am I coming from? What level am I at? There's nothing deeper than that. There were a bunch of hands. Yeah.
When somebody has kavana, are they not supposed to hear others around them? Because I always get distracted. I always hear everything around me, and maybe I'm not having kavana.
No, so you have to. I mean, that's just practicals.
Not hear anything.
Yeah, meaning I position myself in shul in a place where I won't bother anybody else, and I stay with people who I think will bother me. But you get used to that after a while, is figuring out what it's done. Yeah, 100%, 100%, yes.
But I always hear everyone around me.
The more and more you focus in, you learn how to tune it out. You learn how to tune it out, or you find a different corner of the base medrash, or you pick a different base medrash because you've got two now. There's a lot of different ways to go about it. You know what I'm saying? Right now, there's no way that you all are davening in a minyan. There's just no way that's a thing. Right. So then if you're not in a minyan anyway, so find an empty corner. Mirpeset, I don't know if you can have the roof, somewhere if there's any sort of, an empty park area, depending on what time of day it is. Meaning, if you're not davening with a minyan anyway, so then find a nice quiet place where you feel comfortable davening. Means you're distracted. I mean, listen, again, you have to know your limits. In the shul that I daven at, it used to be that there was a chabura of guys who were learning in the back room, but you really came through, so I would sit towards the front. And now their chabura got so big that they actually, it's actually brilliant and beautiful what they did. The side of the shul was just, it's just junk going down the mountain. And they cleared away a whole spot. They put down AstroTurf. They built a pergola. And like, they built themselves like an extension of the base medrash. But 2 days a week, Sundays and Tuesdays, I know because I can hear it, right? Sundays and Tuesdays, if you're on that side of the shul, even if the windows are closed, the kibbutz is huge. It comes through the wall. They're moving around seats anyway because of Corona. Nobody has the same seats they used to have because different people are in the shul and it's got to be socially distanced and all of these things. So when I found a new seat, I dafka found a new seat on the other side of the shul because I knew that would distract me even if I have kavanah. You know your limits. It's okay to know your limits. I hope I get to the point where I wouldn't even notice that. Yeah, for sure. But you know, and some people daven outside. I try to avoid davening outside because outside in the morning, it's, I don't know why, we're on a dead-end street. It's like every morning is 18 garbage trucks beeping and going back and forth and 16 buses parked there because we only have bus drivers in every single apartment there. Somebody parks their buses there and takes them in. And it's literally like a garage in the street. I can't daven outside. I wasn't able to hold it like that. I don't think that's, again, is that something I should work on? For sure, but there's also a halavai that I have the desire that I want to connect, that I'm positioning myself that I don't get distracted. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The other hand, Liba, yeah. I think you can also. I absolutely think you can, and I think you should. Meaning, I don't, just to be clear, every night with my wife isn't me bawling and asking for my deepest, darkest things that I desperately want in order to fix my life. That would be a really overwhelming relationship. I also ask for the little things. But I ask for the little things because we're in constant dialogue. And we care about each other. So I also ask for the little things. I think when you come at it from that direction, and again, relate it to a relationship like that, that's fine. When it's only, when you're only davening like you're walking up to a bank teller, or the lady behind the thing at the supermarket, like, if that's your whole relationship, that's a problem. But, you know, but if within the context of a deep relationship, you also ask for the small things too, consider no more, 100%. That's a great question. I think it depends on where you're coming from. Rina.
On Rosh Hashanah, the long Musaf.
Longest Musaf of the year, yeah.
So, I really don't know how to read Hebrew, like, at all. And once I decided to, like, read Hebrew, and I'm not kidding, like, I was standing for all three shofar blowings to the end of shul, but I didn't understand a word. And now when I do Musaf, like, I do the English, and I understand it, but it's, like, I feel like it's more special that I did it in Hebrew because I was, like, almost like, you know, it's like compared to like a korban and like a sacrifice, it felt like it was like a struggle to like stand up.
Right.
Like when I say it in English, it's so easy. So I feel like because it's a struggle, even though I don't understand it, it's like more meaningful.
Whatever you find more meaningful. Meaning both are...
I feel like he would find it more meaningful.
No. Halacha lemaaseh, both are considered positive. Meaning both saying the words in Hebrew and not fully understanding them and saying it in a foreign language but understanding it are both acceptable. The only thing you can't do is say it in a foreign language and not understand that foreign language.
That's what I did.
No. I'm saying, except for Hebrew. Meaning you could say it in Hebrew and not understand, or say it in a foreign language and yes, understand. But you can't say it in like French or German or Italian if you don't understand them, then it's a nothing. If you understand English, it's fine. If you don't understand the Hebrew, it's also fine.
What do you think, what's better to do? No, actually, Tom, because I don't
understand. I'm saying whatever's better for you. Both are acceptable.
It's not about, like, it's for him.
No, it's, no. First of all, that's beautiful. Bemet. Not like I was making some of you in Seder Buff today. That's, I mean that seriously. Like, that's very beautiful. That you want to do it for him. But meaning whatever you feel is connecting to him better, that's what you should do. That's what you should do. But that's a great place to be, and halavai, all of your Rosh Hashanah davening should be through Chazaras Hashem, in any language, you know. But the idea is, if you feel that that's where the meaning is and that's where you feel the connectivity is, that's where you should follow for now, for sure. Okay, anybody else? Good. Should we keep going or stop here for today? If we stop here, we'll do a little bit of Q&A, but like, meaning, should we, you want to keep going in the piece, or is it too much with the piece?
Is it a lot to work on?
Okay, Adkan for Nisivo Shalom. We'll take a 2-minute break and then we'll start something else.